No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 19th day of June. Welcome, everyone. I hope your day is sunny and bright, not too hot, not too cold. If it's raining, well, just know the sun is still shining underneath all of that rain. And things might get a little soaked, but they dry out with the sunshine. And it's all a necessary part of living in life. Today we begin a brand new book of the Bible. We begin the book of Ecclesiastes. This is another book called Wisdom Literature. And one could say that the book of Ecclesiastes is exploring the meaning of life. And with mentioning the sunshine and the rain, the meaning of life and the exploration of the meaning of life through this book of Ecclesiastes is intended to reflect, meditate, ponder, think on life under the sun. This life that we live here on earth. So we jump in and read Ecclesiastes chapters 1 through 6 today. And this week we're reading the New Living Translation, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher. Completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. But the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome, beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this, too, was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. So I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and madness. For who can do this better than I, the king? I thought, wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. For the wise can see where they are going, but fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. Both will die. So I said to myself, since I will end up the same as the fool, what's the value of all my wisdom? This is all so meaningless. For the wise and the foolish both die. The wise will not be remembered any longer than the fool. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. So I came to hate life because everything done here under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind. I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything I have earned. And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. Some people work wisely with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from Him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please Him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please Him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before, because God makes the same things happen over and over again. I also noticed that under the sun there is evil in the courtroom. Yes, even the courts of law are corrupt. I said to myself, in due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all their deeds. I also thought about the human condition, how God proves to people that they are like animals. For people and animals share the same fate, both breathe and both must die. So people have no real advantage over the animals. How meaningless. Both go to the same place. They came from dust and they return to dust. For who can prove that the human spirit goes up and the spirit of animals goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for people than to be happy in their work. That is our lot in life. And no one can bring us back to see what happens after we die. Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power and their victims are helpless. So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living. But most fortunate of all are those who are not yet born, for they have not seen all the evil that is done under the sun. Then I observed that most people are motivated to success because they envy their neighbors. But this too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Fools fold their idle hands, leading them to ruin. And yet, better to have one handful with quietness than two handfuls with hard work and chasing the wind. I observed yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. This is the case of a man who is all alone without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. It is better to be a poor but wise youth than an old and foolish king who refuses all advice. Such a youth could rise from poverty and succeed. He might even become king, though he has been in prison. But then everyone rushes to the side of yet another youth who replaces him. Endless crowds stand around him, but then another generation grows up and rejects him too. So it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin, and don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. Talk is cheap, like daydreams and other useless activities. Fear God instead. Don't be surprised if you see a poor person being oppressed by the powerful and if justice is being miscarried throughout the land. For every official is under orders from higher up, and matters of justice get lost in red tape and bureaucracy. Even the king milks the land for his own profit. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth, except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers? People who work hard sleep well, whether they eat little or much, but the rich seldom get a good night's sleep. There is another serious problem I have seen under the sun. Hoarding riches harms the saver. Money is put into risky investments that turn sour, and everything is lost. In the end, there is nothing left to pass on to one's children. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. And this, too, is a very serious problem. People leave this world no better off than when they came. All their hard work is for nothing, like working for the wind. Throughout their lives, they live under a cloud, frustrated, discouraged, and angry. Even so, I have noticed one thing, at least, that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. There is another serious tragedy I have seen under the sun, and it weighs heavily on humanity. God gives some people great wealth and honor and everything they could ever want, but then he doesn't give them the chance to enjoy these things. They die, and someone else, even a stranger, ends up enjoying their wealth. This is meaningless, a sickening tragedy. A man might have 100 children and live to be very old, but if he finds no satisfaction in life and doesn't even get a decent burial, it would have been better for him to be born dead. His birth would have been meaningless, and he would have ended in darkness. He wouldn't even have had a name, and he would never have seen the sun or known of its existence. Yet he would have had more peace than in growing up to be an unhappy man. He might live 1,000 years twice over, but still not find contentment. And since he must die like everyone else, well, what's the use? All people spend their lives scratching for food, but they never seem to have enough. So are wise people really better off than fools? Do poor people gain anything by being wise and knowing how to act in front of others? Enjoy what you have, rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Everything has already been decided. It was known long ago what each person would be. So there's no use arguing with God about your destiny. The more words you speak, the less they mean. So what good are they? In the few days of our meaningless lives, who knows how our days can best be spent? Our lives are like a shadow. Who can tell what will happen on this earth after we are gone? Okay, so before we head straight to what in the world is this Debbie Downer talking about today, let's consider who the author is. And just where he might be coming from. This author is King Solomon, who was said to be the wisest king in all of Israel. And because of his wisdom and him asking for wisdom, God also blessed him with wealth, with position, and I guess with those things comes power. And so it might be easy to say, well, sure, you can say all of that when you have all of that. But where the author is coming from is that he has experienced all of these things. And the takeaway has to be that completion and utter joy is not found in the things that you can obtain through wealth. In fact, he very clearly lays out the blind spots. The more wealth you obtain, the more people ask from you or expect you to just provide for them. This is the reflection of the author that he has experienced firsthand. We also hear a little bit of a lament, like, what good is wisdom? Both the fool and the wise will live, breathe, and die. What is there to gain? We have the very somber reading in chapter 3 of there's a time for everything under the sun. In therapy, it's called a both and. A time to be born, a time to die. A time for war, a time for peace. A time for hate, a time for love. Because with all of us in humanity, we all are experiencing both at the same time. And what we expect sometimes is because I'm rejoicing, you should rejoice with me, even though you're in deep despair and grief. Both can be true at the same time, and both are true at the same time. I have a couple favorites in here, obviously, and people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. You know, sometimes, and this is personal preference here, but there's nothing better than a really good meal around the table with the people that you love. When there is peace at the table, I find few things in life more rewarding than my entire family around the table with laughter, with acceptance, with love, with joy, because little mama's got the good food covered right here. I know my way around the kitchen, but knowing that everybody has lives and there's things going on with everybody, but we can come together at this time around the table and forget our past differences, forget our differences of opinions, and just be together and enjoy the present moment. I find few things much more joyful in life than that. But my maybe most poignant favorite here today, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Our hearts. I had to respectfully wait for the thunder crack to resolve before I could finish that thought. Our hearts should be in a posture of worship. There is fellowship in our places of worship. There is communion. There is communing. There is joy and laughter and lament and catching up. But the purpose of our places of worship are to focus, surrender, and solely fixate ourselves, our gaze on God. And this is why in a lot of traditional churches, they require silence to enter into the place of worship. It's an act of reverence. It's a reminder of the reverence of who God is. And so I hear the words today, and I feel a little bit like I just got corrected by my Sunday school teacher. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Yes, ma'am. I don't really know how to summarize the reading today, and I don't think I have to. We'll finish the book of Ecclesiastes together tomorrow. So we pause here today. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that you give us life everlasting here and now, while we are living and breathing under the sun, and we do not know exactly what is to come after this life. There's much speculation, there's much assumption spoken in absolute truth, but no one truly knows until they get to see you face to face. But while we are here, may we heed the words of the writer of this book of wisdom, to know that what we chase does not matter. It does not bring us life. It is a fruitless and endless chase, like chasing the wind, but to live in the fear of Almighty God. That is the goal, to live in reverence and awe of Him and His creation, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to live now as if your kingdom will come on this earth as it is in heaven. We are the bearers, the bringers of the kingdom of heaven here on earth, here and now. Let us be mindful of everything that we say, everything that we do, every choice that we choose. May it be pleasing to you, God. And may we continue to walk in all truth and to bring the light of the world into the darkness in this world. Let it begin with me here and now, I pray. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base. That is the website. That is the free app. That is 2.0. If you have not downloaded it, please do enjoy all of the updates, all of the new things that are available for you through the app. Been years and years of work behind the scenes on behalf of Brian, the visionary, and bringing the videos to life and working tirelessly, endlessly with the teams and some of our staff behind the scenes have really worked endlessly. And it's here. It's available for you. And it's pretty self-explanatory. So if you haven't, just find your way around. Check out the community section. Check out the testimonials. Check out the store. There are lots of new products there. Love one another. T-shirt, that my little saying that I say at the end of every podcast. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow. T-shirt that Brian has penned, coined for years. That's available in the store. Those are brand new items. Lots of things. I could go on and on. Also, check out the videos. There are some overview videos of each new chapter of the Bible. And they are extraordinary. So make sure that you do check those out if you haven't seen those yet. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every single one of you for each and every partnership. We could not do this without you. We are eternally grateful for the seed that you sow and the logs that you put on the campfire every single day. If you are giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or if you're utilizing the app, hit the give icon up at the top right hand corner. And lastly, look for give on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called in, several different ways for you to do so. 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Or if you're utilizing the app again, hit the red circle button right next to the give icon up at the top right. When you are finished, hit the red little microphone, and then right below that, hit the chronological icon on the right-hand side. That's it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow and finish the book of Ecclesiastes. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, dear BC family. This is Michael from London. I want to go back to the 15th of June, which had, for me, a particularly heavy prayer request time on it. I particularly want to pray for Edie Murray and Mia, but really this is for everybody who lifted up a prayer request or who the prayer request was for. I want to read out 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, and it says, "Now may our Lord Jesus himself and our God and Father, who has loved us, and give us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Lord, I just want to lift up everybody who was mentioned in the prayer request of the 15th of June, in particular, Edie Murray, and give my condolences to you and your family, Edie. And for Mia as well, Lord God, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you just bring about your consolation and your comfort to their families. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that everybody around them, those who know you and those who do not know you, Lord God, will encounter you, Lord God, encounter your comfort and your consolation, so that, Lord, they know, despite the tragedies and the pains that they're going through, that there is a God who loves them, a God who heals, a God who encourages, a God who understands their pain and their frustrations and their questions. So I'm praying in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, in the parts of America, Lord God, where everybody is who was mentioned in the prayer request, that you will just touch them supernaturally. And that, Lord, that their lives will turn, Lord God, despite the pain that they're going through, Lord God. Particularly, Lord God, for Scott and Cameron's families, Lord God. Just ask for your favor upon them. And I ask all this in your precious, holy, wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hi, guys. It's Kate calling in. I wanted to pray for Jess from Ohio. I just heard your message, sister, and it broke my heart. And I can hear that it's you have a broken heart. And I just want to encourage you that it has been only a blink of an eye since you lost your baby. And of course you're disappointed, and of course you're emotional and feel like this is not moving forward one day and backwards the next. And that's how you're supposed to feel, because you love deeply and so you grieve deeply. And you've also experienced the most miraculous news to hear. You have life inside you, and to have that change in one day is not what we're meant to wrap our heads around immediately. And just know that a complete stranger is crying for you and praying for you, and I've written you down in my little book, and I just want to encourage you to look up GriefShare. It's all one word, .org. It's free, and it's often in churches. And you just sit and you let yourself feel, and you listen to others, and you know you're not alone, and you see others having actually moved forward in time. And it's good medicine. In the meantime, just give yourself grace. Like I said, you're not supposed to be able to snap out of it or move through it any quicker than you are. And we leave the why up to God. He creates life. He sustains.
Hello, DABC family. This is Mark, the baby doctor from Dayton, Ohio. I just sent in a prayer, and I believe I clicked to DAB instead of chronological, so I'm going to repeat it. Marlene, in Northern Colorado, lifted up your son, Nate, praying for his brain tumor, for his health, for his spirit, that the Lord Jesus would fall upon him and heal both his health and his spirit, and that his faith would grow and believe in a miraculous healing. Wrapped in his grace, I wanted to thank you for mentioning my name and praying for me. It is needed at this time for me. I've mentioned my low back and some other requests. And finally, Edie Marie in Northeast Ohio, we are all sorry and mourning with you the loss of Grandpa Scott on May 31st and Cameron on June 9th. We've all been praying fervently for the family, including Raymond and Jesse. And I just want to use the remaining time that I have on this call to sit in silence, pray for you and your family, and all those listening, please join me. Thank you, DABC family. I love you.